It's time for Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point on the WFAN Giants Radio Network. Driven by the Hess Toy Truck. Here's Lance Meadow.
Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point is brought to you by American-made Peerless Boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com for a dealer near you. NRG, the official energy provider of the New York Football Giants. Learn more at picknrg.com. And by PSENG, committed to providing safe, reliable energy now and in the future. And brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. Lance Meadow with you here at MetLife Stadium as the Giants fall to the Rams 38-11. The Giants now have dropped two in a row. They're 1-5 on the season, 0-3 here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Rams improving to 5-1, 3-0 on the road as the Rams have now won three straight against the Giants. And in the last two meetings that have taken place here at MetLife Stadium, the Rams have outscored the Giants 89-28. They beat the Giants 51-17 here in 2017 and 38-11 today. This was a game that was at one point 3-0 Giants, but then the Rams scored 38 unanswered points before the Giants got a late touchdown thanks to Eli Penny. Four turnovers in the game for Big Blue, including three interceptions by Daniel Jones, two that Taylor Rapp walked away with, and the biggest difference is the fact that the Rams were able to score 21 points on those four takeaways. They cashed in three of them for touchdowns, a big reason why this game got out of hand, and now the Giants will look to regroup as they will welcome in the Carolina Panthers next weekend here at home. Back-to-back home games after they had consecutive road games in New Orleans and Dallas. We'll have plenty more reaction as we move forward. We'll hear from head coach Joe Judge. We'll get some player reaction, and we'll break it all down as the Giants fell to the Rams 38-11 here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point on the WFAN Giants Radio Network. Driven by the Hess Toy Truck.
This is Leonard Williams, and you're listening to Giants Football on the Fan, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Play clock down to four. Stafford takes the snap, back to throw. Looks right, nobody's open. Gonna get sacked again! Leonard Williams got him! Back at the 43-yard line.
That was the play of the game brought to you by your local Ford stores. Visit buyfordnow.com. Ford, the official vehicle of the New York Giants. That was one of two sacks that the Giants recorded on Matthew Stafford in the first quarter. After that, Stafford got comfortable and wound up finishing with four touchdown passes. But the reason why that's of note, as we welcome you back to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point, Lance Meadow, Bob Papa with you, as the Giants fell to the Rams 38-11, is Stafford was only sacked four times entering this game. That was the fewest in the National Football League. The Giants actually managed to make it half of that total in one game alone. So he has now been sacked six times in six games. But it certainly was not enough of an impact, because after that, the Rams capitalized specifically on Giants turnovers. And you know, one of the biggest turning points in this game, Bob, is the fact that they gave the Rams short fields not once, but twice, particularly on turnovers. You can't have a Rams offense that comes in averaging 28 points a game and tell them they only have to go 12 and 14 yards respectively for a pair of touchdowns.
No, Lance, and the Rams, though, haven't been really a good red zone team this year. They were 22nd in the league coming in, but with the struggles that the Giants have had defensively, you can't give the Rams a short field. Look, the only way the Giants were going to win this game today, because if you went player for player on the roster, with Saquon Barkley especially being out, but still, man-to-man, the Rams are a better team. They were 4-1 coming into the game. They've been a strong team in the NFC for the last couple of years, and now you add Matthew Stafford. So what you had to do was, opening drive of the game, you're driving it down the field, you got to score a touchdown. You've got to catch potential interceptions. Xavier McKinney had one. Now, he had two in the game, but that came in garbage time.
Yeah.
He had one earlier that he didn't catch. And then there were other missed opportunities. There were penalties. There were all these things that set the Giants back. The Giants had to make above X's and O's plays in this game and play clean on the other side to give themselves even a chance to win. And that's not what happened. They turned the football over. We talked about how good the pass protection has been because, remember, Daniel Jones had only been sacked 8 times coming into this game.
And none in the last two.
None in the last two. And they've done a pretty good job of protecting the quarterback. Now, against some pretty good defensive fronts and athletic fronts with the Saints and the Lions. But today was a different scenario. And Jones was under siege. Right tackle, left tackle, you name it. It was not any good. And so now he's getting hit, ball's coming out, and, you know, now you're playing the game the wrong way, and you have no chance to win. And then the Rams just put a beating on you, right? I mean, they scored 4 touchdowns in the second quarter to take a 28-3 halftime lead.
Daniel Jones was sacked 4 times, 7 quarterback hits for the L.A. Rams as they cruise past the Giants 38-11. We'll step aside when we come back. We hope to be hearing from head coach Joe Judge, getting some player reaction as well as the Giants now drop 2 straight. They're 1-5 on the season, 0-3 here at home. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point on the WFAN Giants Radio Network. Driven by the Hess Toy Truck.
This is Eli Penny, and you're listening to Giants Football on the Fan, WFAN, and WFAN-FM, New York.
Hand off Penny. He runs right, plows his way right, and he's in for the touchdown.
And that was the scoring drive of the game brought to you by Investors Bank. Get the official New York Giants checking account only from Investors Bank. Visit investorsbank.com/Giants for more details. It capped a 12-play, 53-yard drive that took 3:27 off the clock. Eli Penny from 4 yards out. They were also able to convert the 2-point conversion as Daniel Jones connected with Kyle Rudolph. However, it came a little too late as the Giants fell to the Rams 38-11. Here at MetLife Stadium, their second straight loss, now 1-5 on the season. As we welcome you back to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point, Lance Meadow, Bob Papa with you. Let's run you through the statistics brought to you by the New York State Department of Health. COVID is spreading.
Quick?
Protect yourself. I will do my best. And the people you love, get vaccinated today. Let's start on the Giants side of things. Daniel Jones threw the ball 51 times in this game, and part of that is game flow and playing from behind. He completed 29 of those passes, 242 yards, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions, sacked 4 times. In fairness, one of the three, was a result of Sterling Shepard slipping. And then he had the strip sack fumble that gave the ball back to the Rams also in the red zone. The Giants ran the ball 18 times for 60 yards. That's the Giants Power Report brought to you by PSE&G. It's committed to providing safe, reliable energy now and in the future. Devontae Booker led the way, 12 carries for 41 yards. Sterling Shepard was the top receiver, 10 grabs for 76 yards. On the Rams side, Matthew Stafford, very efficient, 22 of 28 for 251 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. 2 of his 4 touchdown passes went to Cooper Kupp. They ran the ball 34 times for 131 yards. Darrell Henderson, 21 carries for 78 yards and to score. He also had a receiving touchdown as he was able to make a grab from 25 yards out. In terms of the defensive numbers, Tate Crowder led the way with 10 tackles, 7 solo, 1 for a loss, and Jordan Fuller was the leading tackler for the Rams with 11, 9 solo. We mentioned the fact that they were able to put a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones. They got 7 quarterback hits, and the Giants offense also did not gain a lot of help in the early goings of this contest, Bob, because Kadarius Toney went down with an ankle injury, and you lose him right out of the gates.
Yeah, and the offensive line was an issue today. They couldn't pass protect. The run blocking wasn't great. I'll give you one more stat for your little stat report. I mean, the Giant defense has given up 75 points over the last 2 weeks. Okay? They gave up 37 last week, and they gave up 38 today. It's really hard to win the NFL when you're not stopping people.
Sure.
Now, again, you talked about the short field. So, again, you don't single out anybody. It's complementary football, right? It's offense, defense, special teams. It's field position. It's all of that that come into play. And, you know, the defense is, you know, last year when the defense got on some of these short fields, they were able to hold teams to field goals. Not doing it as well, you know, this year. I mean, the Giants, last year were one of the best red zone defenses in the NFL. This year, they came into the week 17th, and today they gave up four touchdowns in five tries. Now, I think, realistically speaking, you also have to take a look at, you know, we're wondering what's wrong with this Giants defense. What, you know, last year they were so good. Last year they were good. What's happened to them? You know, last year might have been a little bit of a mirage. Okay?
Sure.
Because, you know, what you have to take into account here is, you know, they won the games, and you give them all the credit in the world for winning the football games, but they weren't going against, you know, murderer's row of quarterbacks, you know, in some of those wins, right? I mean, the Cowboys didn't have Dak Prescott in the last game of the season. They lost to the Ravens. They got smoked by the Browns.
Bengals didn't have Joe Burrow. Brandon Allen started that game.
They got smoked by Arizona. Now, they won the game in Seattle, right? I mean, that counts. But, yeah, some of these other games, you take a look at it, right? And, you know, this year they've gone against some high-level quarterbacks. And, you know, whether it's Matt Ryan, you know, Dak Prescott last week, this week Matthew Stafford. That's why the loss in Washington kills you even more, because you didn't lose to Joe Theismann or Doug Williams. You lost to Taylor Heineke. And that, it's just, it's tough, man. It's tough, and I don't know what the answers are other than thanking all the fans for coming out today.
A very rough go, a rough patch. Let's head to the podium. Joe Judge addressing the media.
All right, guys. Well, obviously it wasn't good enough today. Got to give credit to the Rams. They did a good job executing, finishing the game. You know, say every week, there's positives to build off of. We'll make sure we go ahead. We magnify those as a team. And obviously there's a lot of things we've got to fix. We got to do better as a team to be able to have success. So that being said, I'll open up for questions.
Joe, you mentioned positives you can build on. Were there any that you saw?
Yeah, you know what? I challenge the guys at halftime. I want to see who's going to finish the game. I want to see what kind of fight some of these guys had. So we'll go through the tape, but there are some guys I could see with the eye test right away. There are some guys that fought and finished right there, and that's how we're going to do things around here. So we're going to compete for 60. We got to do some things technically better, fundamentally better, better calls at times. But I want to see who's going to finish this game, who's going to fight.
Coach, to follow up with that, I know you want to look at the film and everything, and you know, but from your eye test, did you see maybe a few guys that maybe weren't giving that 100% effort in the second half?
Yeah, I'm going to wait till I finish the tape right there to go ahead and give you that answer.
So what was the thought process behind keeping Daniel in?
Because we're going to compete for 60 minutes.
No concern, bang him off the line to have him up there in that situation?
I'll watch how the game flow is going right there. We're going to compete for 60 minutes.
Joe, you're obviously your offense, your line, Daniel were all ineffective in the first half. What went wrong? How disappointing was that? That you guys were non-competitive offensively in the first half.
Well, some things we had to do better, obviously. You know, I like the way we started the game. We were able to play with good tempo, move the ball down, convert some tough third downs. You know, we want to finish in the red zone with touchdowns, not field goals. So we got to do better in that situation right there. In terms of the way we started the game, I was really pleased on both sides of the ball. Some things that hit kind of as the first half went on, we had to correct and fix and get moving forward. So in terms of the specifics on that right there, I'm going to watch the tape before I go ahead and assess everything.
Andrew Thomas goes out. How much did you think, especially on that side of the ball, you were just outmanned?
I got faith in the guys on our roster. Whoever's at the game, you got to produce. That's it. It's what we practice for all week. You come to the game, you're a professional, you're expected to go out there and produce.
Any updates on Tony or Thomas, the injuries?
I have nothing on Tony or Thomas. CJ, I was told he broke his arm. So I don't know exactly where that's going to put everything timetable-wise, but, you know, he's a tough kid. He does a really good job competing. You know, you hate it for a guy like – you hate it for any guys. You hate it for a guy like CJ, who really has pushed through every situation he's been asked to be in and just keeps finding a way to make himself necessary as a player on a roster.
Joe, can you figure out – if any of you have watched the tape, but what changed after that first offensive series? Because it really – you had the tempo, you seemed to have them on their back foot a bit. And we just didn't see that the rest of the game.
Yeah, obviously there was some execution we had to clean up and some things we had to do better as far as how we're going to compete and play this game. I'm going to wait for the film before I go ahead and start assessing everything right there. But it obviously wasn't good enough.
Did you sense some of the air went out of the team when Kadarius went down?
No, I thought we were able to finish that drive right there as far as moving. I don't think anyone wants to see somebody get hurt. Everyone likes the way this guy works and pushes through and competes. He's obviously a productive player for us. He's a young guy. He's got a long way to go, but he's been a very productive player and competitive player for us. You know, in terms of that kind of air going out, like that's not our job. That's not our job. Our job is not to get discouraged or deflated based on a player going out. Like, there's times you don't want your teammates or players to be injured. That's every time, right? You don't want to see someone get hurt. But in terms of, like, something happening and just going ahead and just the air going out of the room, no, that we can't be that way. We can't be that way. I mean, look, we got to have faith in all the guys in that locker room. We all work very, very hard, right? So you got to have faith in the guy next to you to come in and do his job.
How much would that ankle bother him just to play, and then did he re-aggravate the same injury he had?
I don't know the second answer right there, and I'm going to let him speak for himself on that right there. But obviously he was, you know, clear to go out there. He was very productive, you know, early in the game, those first few plays.
You wore road uniforms to recognize the Super Bowl team. What are your thoughts on their halftime ceremony and just a performance on this kind of day?
Well, I'll just keep those two things isolated right there. Obviously, there's a lot of respect for the accomplishments of that team right there. They earned the right to have that. Going out there and hearing Coach Coughlin talk to the crowd, obviously, you know, that's someone who's earned all the time he wants. Did a lot of significant things for this club, for this city. We have a tremendous amount of respect for the history of this organization, the men who came before us. And, look, obviously, the responsibility to uphold the tradition of how we want to play. Didn't do that well enough today.
Joe, when you put pressure on them, it seemed to shut down their passing game. When the pressure went away, those guys were making plays. I mean, is that how did they adjust? I mean,
how did they adjust? Well, I think we got to do a better job stopping the run. That kind of helps alleviate pressure right there for any offense. But I like the way our defense is able to get after him early on and put pressure on Stafford. That helped us be in some situations, force some errant balls, get some sacks, get off the field, things of that nature right there. You know, you got to make sure you stop the run more effectively to keep in passing situations, be able to get yourself in certain calls.
What was essentially, obviously without being specific, the message to the guys when you're in there? What's the theme of what you had to say to them?
I'm talking about right here, right now, leaving? Yeah, we're coming back, we're going to work. We got things to improve on. So we come back on Wednesday, you know, there's time to get going to work. You know, get your bodies right, get your minds right. You know, we're coming around, we're going to lick our wounds around here. There's a lot of ball left to be played. Our goal every week is go 1-0. Our goal is to get better every week as a team, as the season progresses. That goal doesn't change. You know, you talk about the big picture? Yeah, the big picture is the little picture. It's next week. The big picture is how we handle next week. How we practice, how we improve, how we prepare, and how we come out and we execute. So that's our focus has to be is immediate 7 days from now. We got 7 days to get ready for another good opponent coming in here. And that's what our focus has to be.
Joe, do you feel like, obviously, the message has been process over results.
Yep.
Do you feel at all that that message is not getting through to the guys from what you're seeing, maybe not during practice, but on game day?
I don't see anybody trying to find a way to put. No, I don't see anything in that, you know, the way the guys are coming and approaching it and working it, you know, not having the results. There's things you have to do along the way and things you have to do in the execution, and that's coaches through players on game day to make sure you have better results.
Joe, do you expect that there could be changes based on the challenge that you gave them at halftime and whether guys did or did not respond to that?
Well, we make adjustments every week, okay, and it always comes down to, you know, one, how we call the game as coaches, of how we're going to adjust internally. All right, the responsibilities we give internally, player-wise, it's based on production and performance. You know, and that's it. You got to look at how guys played, make sure you put the best 11 on the field in every situation to have success.
Joe, when a team falls to 1-5, though, do you have to find different ways to motivate them, to capture their attention, to implore them to improve, even in, you know, what often at 1-5 becomes a mostly lost season for a lot of teams?
There's a lot of ball left to be played. There's a lot of ball left to be played. We're in week 6. So to turn around and start tapping out now, like, I don't know what kind of mentality other people have. Like, I don't quit things. These players aren't going to quit things. We're not going to do that. So anyone who's got that mentality of, woe is me, what did you think was going to happen? Did you think you're going to go out there, roll the ball out, and just go ahead and walk through every opponent? It's the National Football League. Teams are good. You've got to play better than them in that 60 minutes every Sunday to have success. So in terms of the motivation aspect, our motivation is to improve and perform for the man next to us. I don't see any dip in how our guys prepare. They come to work, I tell you all the time, they're good at meetings, they're good at practice, they compete hard. You know, you guys have to leave after individuals on, you know, Wednesdays and Thursdays, okay? At some point, if, you know, we stayed out the entire time, you know, you'd see a group of guys go out there and they empty the tank and they work hard and they prepare well. You know, we've got to have better results on Sundays. That's a mix of factors. We'll go through that internally and make sure we're doing things, make necessary adjustments to have those. In terms of the motivation of the team, like, I'm just telling you this right now. Like, we don't have a room full of guys right now looking around and wondering, We don't have a room full of guys who are waiting for next year. We don't have a room full of guys who are waiting for someone to show up and save us. Okay, the only one who can make an impact to change anything that we're doing are all the men in that room. The coaches, the players, that's it. Okay? So we're in that submarine right now. All right? Something happens wrong in that submarine. It's got to be someone on that ship to step up and save that thing, right? You spring a leak. Someone's got to plug that thing for you. No one's coming. They don't get there in time to help you if you don't fix it yourselves. So we rely on ourselves. And that's how we come back on Wednesday and we prepare.
As far as Daniel had some of the problems that, you know, were hurting him last year with the fumbles and the interceptions. He went back to that. He seemed to have improved early, and he went back to that.
Yeah, Daniel's improved a lot as a player. I'm not going to go ahead and start to magnify that. Obviously, we don't have turnovers in the game. There's a lot of things that happened. We'll look ahead specifically on what happened. Look, Daniel's improved as a player. Daniel's a guy that we're having success with. He's a tough dude. He's a good competitor. He's a leader on this team. Does everything we ask him to do. Does everything the team needs to see a guy in a leadership standpoint do and perform. So we're going to have success with Daniel. There are obviously things we have to clean up from today. Specifically, you're asking about the interceptions. And, look, these are things we have to talk and address in terms of, you know, how are we executing on plays. That's not always tied into just one person. You know, there's things that different people have to do on those plays to make sure you have a chance to have success. So, you know, obviously the statistic of what the turnovers were, that is what they are. However, you know, I'm not going to try to, you know, go back and talk about the past with anything that's happened with any player. Like, I'm focused on what they're doing now and going forward towards the future. This is a guy that's made a tremendous amount of improvement for us, and obviously he's going to help us have success going forward in the future.
Andrew Thomas, new injury. It was an ankle, and he had a foot coming in. Was it, or was Jordan, it
I don't have any, true information on Andrew. I haven't seen Andrew yet. You know, when you're on the sideline, they kind of come up to you and they just kind of say, 78's out. They give you kind of a brief, whatever it is. At that point, you're focusing on a lot of other things. You know, I knew CJ's arm was broken because I went out in the field, and when I got over, they told me, say, Joe, this is what it is.
Okay. All right.
You good?
Love it, sir.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, so that was Giants head coach Joe Judge addressing the media. His press conference brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants, as the Giants fall to the Rams 38-11 here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. As we will continue to recap this game, also we are expecting to hear from some of the players as we move along, as it was a very rough performance overall for the Giants. They did lead this game 3-0, and then the Rams scored 38 unanswered points. He talked about the Daniel Jones turnovers. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Right now, Logan Ryan addressing the media.
Start off pretty well, but there's a couple short fields. On defense, you got to go put out the fire. We're out there, and the difference between 7 points and 3 points can keep the score in touch. So really, just some of that execution in the red area obviously has been all year, but especially today.
Logan, why are you still in uniform?
I wanted to get out here and face it, man. I want to get out here and speak to you. I'm one of the captains. Obviously, I pride myself on setting a tone and pride myself on doing things the right way and practicing the right way and treating people the right way and being a role model, being a leader. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I was one of the last people to talk. And I believe our receiver, Colin, was the first one to talk. And I remember someone said, unbelievable, he's the first person to talk. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to be the first person to talk today. I'm going to come out here, own it, speak to you guys, explain the best what I felt happened. And really, we got a unified locker room regardless of how it may look right now. We got to work on that, but the players want to take ownership, and that's why I'm out here first today.
We got blown out on your home field. Are you disappointed? Are you embarrassed? Like, what are your feelings?
Yeah, I'm extremely disappointed. It's not acceptable. I mean, honestly, it's not acceptable, and that's just it. You know, I think we had to go out there the second half and fight the best we could and try to earn some respect back, but it just hasn't been acceptable, the result. So. It's not good. It's not good for the fans. Not good for, you know, anybody outside the building. It's not good inside the building. So it just hasn't been acceptable. And I'm gonna do everything I can to try to change that and make that better, one step at a time.
Would you describe the morale inside the room? I know you say you're united, but at 1-5,
yeah.
How would you describe kind of, you know, where everybody's mind?
It hasn't reached our expectations. Obviously, it hasn't reached what we felt, our work ethic, what we put into it. The results haven't added up. And that can get frustrating, and, you know, morale is going to be what it is at 1-5. I can't say morale is great, but what you don't have is splintering. You don't have selfishness. You don't have guys in little corners complaining. I think guys are voicing it, and I think guys are unified and believe that we want to play better, we want to do better. So, yeah, I don't think morale is great. I think that's natural. I think when you're competitive and you lose, you get really mad, and it's not always, you know, the best. But at the same point, I just don't feel like we have that type of cancerous locker room where guys are starting to break away. I don't really, honestly, I don't feel that. I would characterize Joe's message of go out and show some fight. Like, go out and see, you know, like, these spots aren't guaranteed. Like, go out and see who. We're going to see a lot on tape about who you are when you're down. You know, you're going to see a lot when it's not going your way, when however it is, like, you have a chance to respond in adversity. So I just think that's what his message was, go out and respond. And I think guys did the best they could. Obviously, don't really know how the second half played out score-wise or whatnot, but I think guys went out there and responded. Obviously, Xavier McKinney went out there and responded really well. I'm happy for him. He's been busting his butt, been working really hard, been putting a lot of work in off the field to make plays in the back end, to limit some of these shots, to really clean up some of these tackles in the open field. And I think, you know, he did a better job of that, so I'm happy for him to get two of them. He's going to be a really good player in this league, and I think he's showing that.
Logan, it's two words that are used around football, effort and execution. How do you assess where the team is effort-wise versus execution?
I think the effort's great. I think without execution, you're not going to win the game. Like, that's just the sport. That's just how it is. Execution is all that matters. And for whatever reason, we'll see, the execution hasn't been good enough. And look, I've been on championship teams. I've been on all types of winning teams. I've been on teams, like I've talked about, times that were 2-4, trying their butt off and ended up going to AFC Championship, and the execution got better. So we got to obviously fix the execution. We got to make changes to execute better, and we know that. But honestly, guys, it came down, I feel like for my job, it came down to that red area stops, you know, making a score 18, 19 to 3 or 17 instead of 28 and 30. You know, you can't give up sevens and win this game. You can't. It's critical situations, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1. I think for the most part, you know, we did a decent job stopping them early in the game, got a little pressure. I think our pass rush played great today. It's just those key situations. We got to do a better job in holding them to 3. That's your job on the defense. We get put on the backside of the 50.
Just to follow up on what Jordan asked earlier, are you embarrassed by that performance? Was that an embarrassing showing for this team?
It was unacceptable performance. I'm not embarrassed because I gave my max effort. So I went out there, I prepared hard. I felt like I led the guys the best I could, and I went out there and played. It just didn't work out. It was hugely unacceptable, but I'm not very, you know, at this point in my life, I don't get embarrassed too often, so I want to say embarrassed is the word.
Thanks, Logan.
That's Giants defensive back Logan Ryan. Just want to set the scene, guys. He walked in full eye block, full uniform, obviously trying to take responsibility as a leader of this team, and now Sterling Shepard is at the podium. Let's join that.
Sterling, how did Daniel look today? I know he was going through concussion protocols during the week, may not have had as many reps as he normally would. What was your assessment of the way Daniel looked today?
I thought Daniel played well. I mean, I think it's on the surrounding cast. I mean, we have to do a better job to help him out, and I don't think we did that today as a unit. We got to play better.
Just through that interception for a second.
Lost my footing on that can't happen, and I put that on me. So that was on me, and, I mean, a couple of other things that happened throughout the game. You know, we could all say we had a my bad play, and that just can't happen, not in this league, or the score would turn out like that.
As a leader on this team, how do you keep that room together? I mean, you're 1-5, obviously. Not the way you guys wanted to show out today. How do you keep everybody together and locked in?
Yeah, I mean, it just starts with communicating to the guys that we can't give up on each other. We can't start pointing the finger at each other and saying, you know, it was this guy's fault, that guy's fault, or this thing can really go downhill. I've been on teams where that's happened, and you can really start to see a snowball effect. So we got to keep each other's heads up and keep the energy high throughout the week.
So on the sideline, what were you saying to the offense and the offensive line there?
Just, man, we got to play with heart, man. I think that's the main thing. You know, you look up at the scoreboard and you can tend to get down. People's heads start to drop. But one thing that we talk about a lot throughout the week and what we've talked about since we've gotten together as a team is fight. And no matter what the situation is, we have to fight. So that was my message to the guys.
What did you take out of Joe's halftime challenge to the guys?
It was that, what I just said. I mean, we're going to see who has heart, who's going to try to finish the game and make something happen.
Tony, that early, what impact did it have, you know, emotionally and also just in football terms?
You don't want to see anybody go down. I mean, it's going to affect the team in some way. especially a guy like him who's electric with the ball. You don't want to see CJ go down. I'm not sure what happened just yet, but, you know, missing Kenny, but none of that matters. We have to have the next guy up mentality, and we got to get the job done.
You didn't have Saquon, you didn't have Kenny, you didn't have KT, you didn't have Andrew Thomas, you didn't have Darius. So what do you say to the idea that it got to the point where you guys were just outmanned at some point there?
Nah. I think it's the next man up mentality. That's what I just said, and that's what I wholeheartedly believe. We have guys in the stable that can go, and that can make plays for us. So we got to figure out a way to execute better.
You've been in a locker room in the past, not to relive the past history, but you've been in where the coach's message kind of rings hollow, says something, walks out, and the guys kind of look around and wonder what he's actually saying. Is the message from Coach Judge and his assistants getting through to this team right now?
Yes. I mean, you look at what he said in halftime, and I saw guys come out and fight, especially from an offensive standpoint. I saw guys come out and fight and didn't give up. So that's encouraging to see.
Is this locker room angry? You're 1-5. You just got spanked on your home field. Are you guys angry?
Yeah, I mean, we're all competitors. We don't practice every week to come out and lose. That's not what we work so hard for. So yeah, we're pissed off about it. But we're the only ones that can change it. We have to go back to work and try to change this thing around.
Coach talked about CJ broke his arm and Tony the ankle. Have you had a chance to talk to either one of them yet?
Nah, I got to talk to CJ right before he got carted off, but haven't really got to have a conversation with those guys. So that's something that I'll try to do tonight, reach out to them and see how they're doing.
Thanks.
All right, appreciate it.
That's Giants wide receiver Sterling Shepard. He leaves the podium, and we're going to be joined by Giants quarterback Daniel Jones in just a second. But first, it's going to be Giants defensive lineman Leonard Williams that heads up to the podium. Let's join him now as he addresses the media after this Giants loss to the Rams.
Starting, you had a good pass rush, and then by the second quarter, it wasn't as effective, and things kind of opened up for them. What happened?
Like you said, I think we started fast like we wanted. Defense was getting off the field. We were getting pressure up the middle, making them hold the ball a little bit. I got to watch film to further assess exactly what happened. But, you know, it seemed like he was getting the ball out a little bit faster in the second half. Their tempo started going a little bit quicker as well. And, overall, they were just, doing better than our defense. So.
Leonard, it seemed like at one point you were shooing off the boos. Did the boos bother you? Do you feel like they weren't allowed, they shouldn't have been booing, you guys?
I mean, they do bother me, honestly. Obviously, we're in our own home stadium. I don't want to be hearing boos from our own fans. I understand that they have a right to, be upset as well, because they're coming to see us put, good football on the field. And, we haven't been winning up to date. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't like that.
What do you say to the idea that when you don't play well, you kind of deserve it in a way?
I mean, I don't think anyone deserves to be put down, no matter who you are, I'm not going to go up to a salesman and tell him that he's not a good person or boo this person because he's not doing his job or something like that, you know what I mean?
Leonard, with all due respect, that's kind of a laughable analogy, no one's getting booed in it's a sports venue, right? You guys are getting pounded 28-3, you know what I mean? Like, can you understand why fans are angry?
Just said I understood why fans would be upset, yeah.
But you don't think they should boo?
It doesn't matter what I think. I go out there to play football. I don't sit in the stands, so I can't see from their perspective.
Last week, Graham described the performance by the defense as unacceptable. How would you categorize this week?
The same. I mean, we obviously gave up too many points. No matter what the situation was, we allowed them in the end zone too many times. No matter how we started off, we didn't finish the way we wanted to. I think guys on this team have a lot of fight in them. I think it goes to show that we played to the last second. Obviously wasn't enough, and we need to pick it up. But I think no one in this in this locker room is going to give up on each other. And, you know, we have the same group of guys that we did last year, and we were in a similar situation. And we were, you know, one game off from going to the playoffs last year. And, you know, we're not obviously trying to compare it to last year or anything like that, but I think it just goes to show that, you know, guys in this locker room are willing to lean on each other and keep fighting.
What did you take out of Joe's challenge to you guys at halftime?
I think it's just more of a creating an identity is what he was trying to do. You know, we knew that we were down. You know, he wanted to see, you know, who's going to go out there and keep fighting and represent for the guy next to them. And, you know, don't hang your heads, don't drop your shoulders, you know, don't look like a quitter out there on the field and keep playing.
How do you get that execution to match your preparation? All week, Judge was speaking about how you guys prepare hard, no one's hanging their heads, but we're not seeing that on the field.
Right. I mean, I think that's the question that we're all trying to answer right now is executing. I think, you know, everybody has been grinding since camp. You know, I don't question anyone on this team's work ethic or you know, how they approach work every day or anything like that. I think it's just we have to find a way to execute it, like you said.
Leonard, from a personal standpoint, how ready are you to start winning? I mean, your career record in games you played in is now 34-67. I don't need to remind
you.
Your career record in games you played in is now 34-67. Obviously, it's a team game, but you've experienced a lot of losing. So from a personal standpoint, how sick are you of losing, and how ready are you to finally turn the corner and win some games?
I mean, as a competitor, I mean, it's really upsetting that I'm, you know, in my year seven, and like you said, I've been having a lot of losing seasons. I haven't been to the playoffs yet in my career, and that's pretty tough. You know, a long career in this league is, you know, 10 to 12, 13 years, and, you know, I'm already close to half of that at least, and you know, I want to obviously start seeing, you know, the tables turn and start winning, but you know, I'm obviously not pointing fingers and blaming anyone. You know, I look at myself first in the mirror, how much more can I do, and, you know, obviously lean on each other. I think I do love this team though. I love how much fight this team has, and, you know, in the end of the day, when even when we're losing, you could look a guy in his eyes and you can tell that he's still ready to fight for you, so I like that.
That's Giants defensive lineman Leonard Williams. Daniel Jones is standing here, guys, right on deck. So let's hang out here and wait for the Giants quarterback to take the podium, and then that'll wrap us up down here. Here's Daniel Jones at the podium addressing the Giants media.
We'll take questions.
Daniel, could you tell us first about Dallas, your experience there, and what this week was like for you?
Obviously the play on the goal line and got the wind knocked out of me and you know, stumbled there and, you know, had no memory loss. And when I got back to the locker room, passed all the tests. So just went through the week, through the concussion tests and took it a day at a time, what the trainers were asking me to do, and passed all the tests.
Did the reps this week, because you were going through the protocol, did that impact you today in terms of timing and just trying to get your rhythm?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I was just still able to get those reps and practice, and, I don't think it had an effect.
So that scene with your stomach was kind of a scary scene. So you're saying that really wasn't, like, that serious, though?
I went through the protocol. Obviously, I understand the situation, and I, you know, did stumble there, so went through it and went through the test, passed the test.
I'm a little confused. Were you diagnosed with a concussion? You said you passed all the tests. How do you pass all the tests to be diagnosed with a concussion?
I was diagnosed with a concussion because, you know, I stumbled in that moment. That's a symptom of a concussion, but I didn't have a lot of the other symptoms.
Did you feel like you were playing with any reservations, even on run plays like that 4th-and-1? Were you nervous at all?
No.
No. Put a finger on what happened from that first drive today that looked so dynamic and on pace, and you kind of had them on the back foot, and then just the rest of the game, there wasn't that same execution.
Got behind the sticks in a lot of situations and didn't execute. You know, we had a good plan and we just didn't execute it. So, you know, obviously the turnovers were a big deal, and that set us back.
How much did you miss out with him last week?
Yeah, he was a big part of it going in, and he's been playing at a high level. Made an impact there early on. So, we missed him, but, you know, we got good players, and those guys stepped up and got to execute better.
Could you share with us the two of the interceptions both went to Rapp? He seemed to be playing underneath. What did you see, and was he where he was supposed to be? Can you just share what you saw in those two interceptions?
Yeah, he made good plays on both those and bad decisions on my part, but credit to him and made two good plays.
What did you think of the fans going?
What did I think of it? Yeah, they're upset. We didn't play well. We're certainly upset about that too, so I get it.
Judge said he wanted to see Mike run the team in the second half, and that was a challenge at halftime. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. I thought guys came back and we fought all 60 minutes and defense, offense, I thought we competed. So still wasn't perfect. There were still too many mistakes, but I thought we fought.
You hit in the blind side a couple times today, late in the game when the score was out of reach. Are you concerned about the physical beating that you're taking week after week?
No, that's part of the game, and I got to do a good job communicating and getting the ball out of my hands, but part of the game and got to do a good job.
Surprised he'll be out there at the end when
we're
so lopsided?
No, I appreciated the opportunity to be in there and compete. And Coach Judge preaches 60 minutes, and that's what the game is. That's how long we're going to compete for. So I appreciated the opportunity to be out there.
Yeah, how different is the offense when Andrew Thomas is up there and you can do what you want to do and the receivers can get downfield versus when he's not out there and it seems like everything has to be rushed a little bit?
Yeah, Andrew's a great player. He's played really well for us this year. He's an important piece, but I thought those guys, Matt, Nate, Corey, all those guys stepped in and played well. So got to do a good job making decisions and getting the ball out.
And for most of the game, you played without three of your top four wideouts. How much did that affect your passing?
It's going to have some effect. When you go into a week planning and setting things up. But like I said, guys came in and did well. We've got good players. We got a lot of guys who can make plays. So we got to do a good job. I got to do a good job finding them.
How much was Kadarius' focal point coming in then? I mean, you said that. I'm curious.
He's been playing at a high level, been making a lot of plays for us last week and before that. So, he's a big part of this and we were planning on it. But like I said, we gotta do a better job getting the ball to the guys. We got good players and gotta be ready to go.
You know, anything you could have done on the strip sack?
Get the ball out of my hands faster.
That throw last week, the high throw on Saquon, why was that high? Did someone at the line disrupt you there? What happened on that
one? Just a bad throw. All right, thanks.
All right, so that was Giants quarterback Daniel Jones addressing the media. Player press conference is brought to you by MetLife, the official insurance company of the New York Giants, as the Giants fall to the Rams 38-11 here at MetLife Stadium. They're now 1-5 overall, 0-3 at home. We'll step aside, come back, continue to recap what transpired earlier today here in East Rutherford, New Jersey. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point on the WFAN Giants Radio Network. Driven by the Hess toy truck.
And thank you so much as we welcome you back to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point as the Giants were topped by the Rams 38-11. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the WFAN Giants Radio Network.
LSU will reportedly move on from title-winning head coach Ed Orgeron after this season. Listen to Boomer and Geo tomorrow morning from 6 to 10, WFAN, WFAN-FM, New York.
Lance Beto, Bob Papa, Jeff Fiegels with you here as we are recapping the rough performance for the Giants, only able to put 11 points on the board in their loss to the Rams. Let's take you through the game breakdown brought to you by your local Ford stores. Visit buyfordnow.com. Ford, the official vehicle of the New York Giants. Let's throw out some team stats that jump off the page. Total yardage, Rams 365, Giants 261. Through the air, it was 234 to 201 in favor of the Rams. On the ground, 131 to 60, also in favor of LA. And probably the most notable statistic, red zone. 4 of 5 for the Rams, 1 for 2 from the Giants. And the Giants had an early opportunity in this game, Jeff, in terms of them marching down the field. They got into the red zone and just as has plagued them throughout the course of the season, they have to settle for a field goal.
Yeah, because, you know, that first quarter seemed to be going pretty well. And if you're going to compete with the teams like the Rams and the Cowboys, the guys, the teams that put up a lot of points, you're going to have to not make threes and make sixes down there, or sevens, if you will. So those are opportunities that we've seen from the beginning of the season that we continue to talk about every week.
The Giants now on the season, 7 of 17. In the red zone. They were 30th in the NFL coming in at 40%. So they helped their cause slightly in terms of the percentage there.
Well, I mean, you know, 7 for 17. You're asking a lot out of your defense to hold those opponents to low scoring. But when you have the Cowboys and the Rams who put up a tremendous amount of big plays and lots of points, that's putting a lot of stress on your defense. The other thing, too, is that, you know, the turnovers and where they come and how quickly the opposing team turns those points, those turnovers into points. When you look at how the scoring went in this game, the Rams had a 4-play 12 yards, 117 off the clock, a 4-play 14 yards, 117, and a 6-play 73 yards at 141. Those are quick scores. I don't know, all those might not come off of turnovers, but
two of the three, but
my point is that, you know, those are just quick hitters where you all of a sudden you're down 21 points instantly like that. So that's tough for your defense.
Well, and another theme, and Bob, you hit on this earlier, and Jeff, we've talked about this on numerous postgame shows, is the lack of complementary football, not just this season, but in seasons past, where you get a good performance out of the offense, the defense doesn't meet you halfway. You get a good performance out of the offense doesn't meet you halfway. That seems to also be a storyline this season.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you don't get to 1-5 without it being a team effort. Team effort the wrong way, but a team effort. Like, it's not one thing. It's a lot of different things. It's, as you said, an inability to punch the ball in the red zone. It's penalties that kill drives or drop passes or routes being run correctly that lead to interceptions or a tip ball that Xavier McKinney should intercept that he doesn't when Ragland tips it. That could be momentum swings in the game. And when you don't make any of those plays over the course of a game, it's offense, it's defense, it's special teams. They've had some missed kicks this year that they didn't have last year. It all adds up to 1-5. It's not like you can say, well, it's just because of this or it's just because of that. It's been poor tackling. Tackling was better today, at least early in the ball game. It's a lack of a consistent pass rush. It's team-wide. And I think that's a frustrating part for fans and probably for every coach in there in this entire organization. Jeff, how do you fix it? I mean, we're 6 games into the season now. Okay, we're a little over a third of the way into the season. You know, and Lance knows one of my pet peeve terms that have become commonplace in the NFL are, well, we just got to clean it up. Well, you know, when you spill a bottle of milk or water or Gatorade or you spill something from the counter, you clean it up. You get a paper towel, you get a little Windex or whatever, you clean it up.
But what you're cleaning up with works.
Yeah.
The paper towel works.
You know, we keep hearing about we got to clean this up. Well, it's not getting cleaned up, which leads me to believe they don't have enough good players to get it going in the right direction right now, especially with the guys injured.
You look back at the Saints game when the Giants played some complimentary football there towards the end of the game and into the overtime. That's what it takes to win football games. You get just good play on C.J. Board, a big punt return. There's your special teams giving the ball back to the offense. The offense goes and converts a couple third downs, punches it in. Your defense gets a stop. Those are the things you have to have happen. Consistently, we're six games into the season. As we always talk about, the first quarter of the season is usually kind of ironing out a little bit, learning how to tackle, kind of scheming things here and there. We're two games, the Giants are two games over that, which tells you that there's still a lot of problems in areas that they're just having a hard time fixing.
We will move along here in terms of some of the major takeaways from this game, as well as looking ahead to the next challenge, which is the Carolina Panthers, who fell to the Minnesota Vikings in overtime earlier today. We'll also get you caught up with everything else that happened across the NFL with the full Week 6 scoreboard. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point on the WFAN Giants Radio Network, driven by the Hess Toy Truck.
And thank you so much. Let's take you through the Week 6 NFL scoreboard. We have a few games currently in progress, all in the second quarter. The Cardinals are shutting out the Browns 20-0. Kyler Murray with two touchdown passes, one going to Christian Kirk. It's the Raiders 10, Broncos 7. Derek Carr with a touchdown pass to Henry Ruggs in this contest. This is the first Raiders game, of course, since they have parted ways with head coach John Gruden. And early in the second quarter, the Patriots doubling up the Cowboys 14-7. Dak Prescott has a touchdown pass to Dalton Schultz for Dallas. Damian Harris, a rushing touchdown for New England. Everything else has gone final from earlier today. In London, the Jaguars, they claim their first win of the season with a 23-20 victory over the Dolphins. The Packers took care of the Bears 24-14. Aaron Rodgers, two touchdown passes. He also ran in for another. The Bengals cruise past the Lions 34-11. Joe Burrow, three touchdown passes. Colts clobbered the Texans 31-3. Jonathan Taylor, 145 yards rushing and two scores. The Chiefs overcame two early interceptions by Patrick Mahomes. He finished with 397 passing yards, two touchdowns, as Kansas City topped Washington 31-13. The Vikings outlasted the Panthers 34-28 in overtime. Kirk Cousins connecting with K.J. Osborne from 27 yards out for the game-winning score. This after Greg Joseph missed a 47-yard field goal as time expired in regulation. And the Ravens crushed the Chargers 34-6. Baltimore had three rushing touchdowns and Mark Andrews leading the way with five catches for 68 yards and a score. That was the NFL in action. It was brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly. Here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, the Rams topped the Giants 38-11. Giants now 1-5, 0-3 at home. The Rams 5-1, 3-0 on the road. We'll step aside, come back, run you through the latest injuries, and get more reaction as we move forward here on Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point.
You're listening to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point on the WFAN Giants Radio Network, driven by the Hess Toy Truck.
This is X-Man, and you're listening to Giants Football on the Fan, WFAN, and WFAN-FM New York.
One tackle.
Welcome back to Mercedes-Benz Giants Extra Point. Alongside Bob Pop and Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. As the Giants were topped by the Rams 38-11 here at MetLife Stadium. The player of the game is brought to you by the members and contractors of Local 825 Operating Engineers, ELEC 825, Building Our Future. And the player of the game is Sterling Shepard, 10 catches for 76 yards in his return after missing the previous two games due to a hamstring injury. Now, that brings me to the injury report, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better, and we continue to add to the walking wounded. Unfortunately, Kadarius Toney left this game very early with an ankle injury. Now, he had the ankle injury coming in. He re-aggravated it. It looked as if he could barely stand on the sideline. He had to be assisted, and that's why he was immediately ruled out. You heard Joe Judge earlier, if you were listening to his press conference, mention that C.J. Board broke his arm. He was carted off the field, so that obviously is a significant injury. Andrew Thomas was a question coming in with a foot injury. He did play. Now they're listing him with an ankle issue as he went down in this game and could not finish. Danny Shelton, a pectoral injury for him. And then Nate Solder, a finger injury, but Solder did play through that. So a number of injuries, two of which are on the offensive line.
Dude, you got any good news?
More in the receiving core. Unfortunately, I don't have much positives to report, Bob. I am not the doctor, so I can't control the injury bug from that standpoint. But in all seriousness, it is an ongoing issue, Jeff. And every week we seem to be turning to the depleted starting group. Mm-hmm. Now you're eating into the depth chart. But they're not going to pause the season, though, for the New York Giants until they get better overall.
No, and the problem you have when you go this far into your depth chart, you're now going down to the practice squad where most of these guys, they're in meetings. But they're not running the plays that your team is running and at practice. The practice squad is your practice squad team, which is running the other team's offense and defense. So, you know, when you bring these guys up, everybody has this notion that they're going to come in and start and they're going to play. And, there's a learning curve, especially for the guys that they're picking up that are on the street, that then they bring them in and then, you know, they elevate them. So there's a lot of things to go there.
Yeah, and I think you saw that, for instance, because Dante Pettis today was forced into – a much more extended role than you would have expected going into the game with
Slayton
out, and then with Kadarius Toney going out of the game, Board getting hurt later in the game. So you could see that he and Daniel Jones weren't on the same page.
100%.
I mean, coming out of his breaks, whatever. Now, they played together last year, but he was a spare part in this whole thing. Now, all of a sudden, you're trying to convert a 3rd and 7 or whatever. He's your option, and you could see where that really can affect the football team.
You could see how the throws and just the timing in both guys, okay? So he's running his route. He's not real comfortable with Daniel Jones, knowing that where the ball is going to be. Daniel Jones on the other side of it isn't real comfortable where he's going to be at the break, opposed to Darius Slayton or guys that are getting the reps that they are normally.
Now, two of the passes that went to Pettis seemed to be towards the outside and slightly out of his reach. That seemed to be a common occurrence. Now, speaking of injuries, let's look ahead to the next matchup, okay? They're back home next week. They bring in a Carolina team we just mentioned, lost a heartbreaker in overtime, start off very strong. Now, they have hit sort of a snug in their season.
No McCaffrey,
correct. He was placed on IR. He's still dealing with the hamstring injury after he missed the previous two games. Chuba Hubbard, their rookie running back, has filled in. Sam Darnold in a brand-new environment. You know, this is a Carolina team that's been up and down, but at this point, the Giants can't take anybody for granted, regardless of what type of shape they're in.
Rather than really worry about your opponent, you need to worry about correcting the things that you're doing. And, this game today just shows you that how quickly you can lose a football game in a matter of just, two or three drives and turnovers.
And they're going to have to deal with the likes of DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson in terms of the receiving core, and a defense that has certainly improved based on the youth movement they had under defensive coordinator Phil Snow last season. As that is going to wrap up our network portion of our post-game show, but stick with us if you are still listening to us on The Fan in New York, because we're going to be right back with more post-game coverage. It's time to say goodbye to the affiliates on our radio network and on the Giants digital platforms, as well as Bob Papa.
Goodbye, Bob.
The final score, Rams 38, Giants 11. You've been listening to Giants Football on the WFAN Giants Radio Network, driven by the Hess Toy Truck.